Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymeer Church of Christ.
I guess basically, John is no stranger to Graymeer. I mean, he spent a lot of his growing up years here at Graymeer. When his family moved from Elizabethtown, is that right? Yeah, I'm trying to remember way back. And his wife, of course, Natalie, the daughter of our Fred and Kathy Porter. John went to Freed Hardeman, and he's been a youth minister, part-time youth minister. Now he's working at Columbia Academy. And also, he serves as one of the deacons at the Southgate congregation. John has spoken for us before, and I believe it was in a summer series. And John, I cannot remember. It has not been that long ago. But his topic was, I believe in baptism. And that was one of the best lessons I have ever heard on baptism. He did an excellent job. His topic tonight is deepening our Bible study. He is an excellent teacher, and we're looking forward to his lesson. John?
What a great topic I have to talk to you about tonight. They've asked me to stay up in the light. I believe Andrew and little baby Noah possibly is watching streaming tonight. So I'm going to stay up top. Usually you would want me in the dark, but I'm going to stay in the light. It is good to be with you tonight. It's good to come back home. If you're here on Wednesday night, I think you understand the importance of this topic. Now, I've been teaching. I'm about to start my 17th year at Columbia Academy in teaching, and I've had students skip my class. I've had students go to Taco Bell, I've had students run down to the gym, I've had students skip to go watch a baseball game or go to a tennis match. I've had people just, you know, leave campus to miss my teaching. I've never had somebody plan to be out of country to miss my teaching. But Andrew, of course, lines me up and then he takes off to Peru. My own in-laws fly as far as they can to get away from this opportunity. Now, I believe they're doing a lot of great things. I'm enjoying them getting updates from Fred on the work in Peru. I know they've already had some baptisms. The VBS is going great. I'm getting good. He's bragging on Taylor down there and the work that he's doing. So I think everything is going very, very well. Tonight, as we look at deepening our Bible study, I hope to encourage you to remain faithful in your study of His Word. The fact that you're here tonight means that you think that this is something that's very important. I think it is so important for us to consider the idea of His Word. I love the song, Give Me the Bible, because it's the answer to so many things. I hope tonight to encourage you to seek a way that you can increase your dedication to His Word. I'm not going to go to address every technicalities of in-depth Bible study tonight. While I believe that's of utmost importance, what I really want to focus on tonight is twofold. One, I want us to consider our view of Scripture, how we view Scripture and its purpose in our lives. And secondly, I want us to look at ways that we can allow God's Word into our hearts. A few years back, Bruce McLarty, the president of Harding University, came and he spoke to a Christian school in service at Columbia Academy. There were hundreds of faculty members from all over the Southeast at that get-together. And as he came through, he started to talk about the students that come to this Christian university, to Harding University, to come there. And he said, we have students that come, and this was his assessment, I'm paraphrasing, but it's what I remember from what he said. He said, we have all kinds of students that come and can discuss and have a conversation about God, but they don't really know the Bible. We have young people who can come and talk about a relationship with God and talk about what God means to them, but if you want to start to talk about the actual details of what happens throughout the Old Testament, how God worked in the life of Moses, or you want to bring up a prophet and you want to talk about specific things that occurred in Scripture, you can no longer assume that they know it. And I've seen that as well. The idea of looking at the Bible and the idea of saying, well, you know the story of the prodigal son. No, they don't. You know the story of the prophets and the competition on Mount Carmel whenever God was going to send fire from heaven. You can no longer assume that we know, because we have failed in some ways to make sure that we have deepened our Bible study. See, I'm afraid that many have moved away from the importance of stressing, making sure that we know what the Bible says. I believe if that's the case, if that's what the church is going to do, if we move away from knowing what the Bible says, I believe we're going to do it at our own peril. The idea of the moorings that will bring us back, the anchors that can keep us close to God, are going to be this. This message that we talk about tonight of knowing God through His Word, of knowing Him, of studying Him, of studying His ways and His words for us. See, we serve an awesome God, and He has given us an unbelievable gift that we ought to talk about every day. We ought to talk about Jesus Christ. We ought to talk about the grace and the mercy that's available to us, the fact that He has taken care of all of our sins, that we can go to Him and we can have salvation. We can be in heaven with Him. We need to have that conversation time and again because of the great gift that He gave us. But I believe equally important is the great gift that He has given us of His revealed Word, so that we can look at what He wants, so we can look at His will and make sure that we're following what He wants in His Word. And the only way that we're going to do that is through Bible study. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, Paul gives us a picture of the Lord's church when he says this. He's talking about the church as being a building. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Here he gives a picture of the church and he says, look, the foundation of that, the cornerstone of everything we do, is Jesus Christ, our Lord, buried, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. But on top of that foundation, that belief of who Jesus is the cornerstone, is what the apostles and the prophets have done. The men that God has spoken to us through, their teachings, what they have given us, to see their stories, to see their teachings, and says the church is to be built upon that foundation that has been given to us through their Word. And if we're going to effectively be what this passage tells us to be, a household where God can come, a dwelling place of God and the Spirit, each one of us individually as stones of that building have to know what the apostles have said, have to know what the prophets have said, have to build our lives as well on the teachings that we find in God's Word. I believe as God's church, we have to constantly inspect the foundation of this church, of our beliefs, of our actions, of our motivations, to make sure that we're truly a holy temple in the Lord, a proper dwelling place for God's Spirit here in the world. I believe how we view what Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets have spoken to us through the inspired Word will determine how well we fulfill this purpose, how well we are what God wants us to be. So we start tonight, I want to look at the idea of the importance of our view of Scripture. There was a study done by the American Bible Survey, a survey done by the American Bible Study Group. It was conducted by the Barna Group, and this is showing some of the results of this study. This was done in 2014, and I know there's a lot of things there, but there's some... This study basically went out, they called 1,000 people, they got on the internet, had 1,000 people, really did a conducted a pretty good survey of people's views of Scripture. As we come together tonight, as many of us share a common view, and you may say, well, why are we going to talk about how we view Scripture? We have it all in common. I think it's important for us to note the world in which we now live. I think it's very important to note what we're up against as we go out into the world. Millennials, those that are 18 to 29, are leading towards skepticism, it says. Is the Bible a sacred word of God? 2011, 86% would say yes. 2014, 79%. About 19% of those surveyed said that they are engaged in Bible study. They want to look to God's Word and study it and find out what it says. But up 6% from just a few years ago is the equal number of people, 19%, that said, no, I'm a skeptic. Forget it, I'm not even going to look at the book. The Bible contains everything a person needs to know to live a meaningful life. Those above 29%, 50% would say, yes, I agree with that. Those up to 29, only 35% would say the book that we're talking about contains everything that a person needs to know and to live a meaningful life. 26% of all American adults have never read the Bible. 39% of millennials have never read the Bible. As we come together tonight and we talk about the idea of Bible study and the importance of that, I think we have to understand what society and what culture is doing to our view of the Bible. Skepticism is at an all-time high, and I see it continuing to grow. I've seen this in my own classes as I teach here in Murray County. You can sit there and say, well, look, your assignment today, you're going to read these passages, and I want you to write a paper in response to the passage. There's no teaching going on. You simply read the Bible and say, write what you think about those passages. Three times this year, twice on one subject, the students read the passage and said, I don't agree with that. That's new. That's the first time that I've really had that, but I had that three different times. Say, well, no, you would read it. There was no interpretation. It wasn't talking about what do we think this means. It was simply reading the passage and say, I don't agree with that. The idea of a standard, the idea of the Bible as the go-to location for what we are going to do to lead a meaningful life is slowly being eroded. And I think we have to make sure that we show the proper view of this book, that we embrace the proper view of this book, that we live out a proper view of this book as we go to dig deeper into our Bible study so that others can see the things that we know. We understand that, but we're living in a society of people that do not. We have an entire generation that's growing up that is moving farther and farther away from the look. The Bible says it, that settles it. And we're going to have to go beyond that as we teach our children, as we teach our grandchildren, as we interact with those around us. We're going to have to do our job even better. And I think part of our Bible study is to think, and part of what I want to do tonight is to encourage you to study it more, encourage you to think about what God has actually given us in His Word so that you leave tonight that you want to study it more, that you want to look for the things that God is giving us and that you can share that message with other people. They aren't even reading it. We have people right here in Columbia, Tennessee that have not read the story of Jesus Christ. We thought that would never be true, would it? That's absolutely true. What that is a wonderful, unbelievable opportunity for us. There's not a problem with darkness. The only problem would be the absence of light. And we have that light to shine into the world. Well, as we consider, as we understand our proper view of Scripture, our proper view of Bible study, I think we have to first establish the need for studying the book. What purpose does Bible study have for our lives? I want to answer the question, like, why should we study this book? Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 through 27, as Jesus is coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it's a story we know from BBS, from the kids who are going to build their house, and they get out their builders, because Jesus, at the end of all of His teachings, makes this great illustration. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Why do we need to study this book? We need to understand as Christians that storms come, don't they? Storms come in health difficulties. Storms come in marital relationships and the difficulty that can happen there. Storms come as we watch our parents suffer or we watch our children suffer. Storms come with financial hardship. Storms come in losing a job and life coming down all upon us. The two situations that Jesus describes here are identical in the fact that the storms will come. The winds will blow. The house is going to get slammed against. The question is, do you have stability in the storm? Well, as we look at Jesus' teaching, He is showing us His teachings here in the Sermon on the Mount, and I believe we can apply that to the rest of Scripture. What God wants to give to us is stability in the storm. In a world when we face difficulties and others watch us face those difficulties, do we stand firm? Are we founded upon something that gives us hope regardless of the storm? I would say yes. This book wants to teach us. As we look at this book, why should we study it? Because it wants to give you stability in whatever you see, whatever clouds gather, whatever you're facing. Looking to this book can get you through that storm, where your house can be founded, your life can be founded on something that is so solid. Don't you want to study this book? Secondly, he talks about these storms that were coming, but he also talks about a foundation of faith. A question that comes up to me a lot, and a lot of people have asked the idea of how these millennials, that concerns me. Many of you, as you saw that, I could see the concerned look on your face. You're thinking, well, what do we do? 18 to 29-year-olds, somebody would be going, my kid's about to be in that range. Or what can we do as a church to make sure these kids, when my child goes to college, what can I do to make sure they stay faithful? It's a question that was given to me at Southgate as I was teaching a class, was what can we do to make sure our children stay faithful? And what's the basic question we're asking? We're asking a question because we want our children to keep the faith, don't we? What can I do that when my child leaves my house and goes to college, that my child will continue to keep the faith? I want them to continue to believe in Jesus. I hope we want so much more. I don't just want my child to show up at a church building every now and then, but I want them to leave with a faith in Jesus Christ. And as I've dealt with young people 20 years now, there's something that I've seen time and again where, you know what, as I see young people leaving, when I see a young person who loves God's Word and loves to study it, I have very few worries. Because as I have seen students that have left, if I've seen young people that have gone on into this world, but they respect God's Word. They respect what it says. They understand the stability that it offers, and it is the foundation of their life. I don't care where they go to school. They can go to school anywhere because if they take God's Word with them and a proper respect for that, they're going to have that foundation. As parents, are we giving our children this foundation of faith? By how we view Bible study, by how we view the time that we come together, whenever we have our grandchildren or anybody that we have contact with, do we understand the foundation? If we want them to keep the faith, we have to understand where that faith comes from. What does Scripture tell us? Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes from hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. This foundation of faith, this principle that's going to keep us firm in our relationship with God that goes anywhere we go, is going to come back to a study of God's Word. Why do we need to deepen this? Because this is where it's going to be foundational. See, I've seen a lot of young people that have had neat experiences with God. You can go on a retreat and feel so close to God. You could go to camp and you can get a high with God. You could go on a mission trip and have a connection with God and you see that they see it and you can see it light up in their eyes that they understand it. But then experiences fade. And I think as we look at the landscape, even in Christianity, people that are saying they're wanting to follow God, many times, where is our emphasis? Is our emphasis simply on experience? Well, experiences are great. I love all of those things I mentioned, but it has to be underlaid with a foundation of knowing what God and His Word says. So I think it's important that we look to God's Word for this faith. The prophet Hosea in chapter 4, verse 6 of his book makes a statement that we've heard many times. Speaking for God, he says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." A lot of times we know the first part of that verse. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Many times if we have failed to get this foundational principles, if we fail to look at the stability that will give us stability to through the storm, and we haven't built that foundation of faith, many times whenever the attacks come, we can be destroyed. God at this point was saying, "My people have given up on my word, and because of that, destruction is coming." But the second part of that passage is one that we don't look at as much. He says, "Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Well, I don't think for a minute that God's saying, "Well, I don't care about your children because of your choices." I don't think that's consistent with what you'll see in the rest of Scripture. But I do think it points out something that is going to be obvious and is going to be true many, many times. If we fail to build that foundation of truth, if we fail to build knowledge within them, the natural process will take its course. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. We cannot make an experience that will keep our children or keep others or keep our fellow Christians safe here. What will keep them here? If they keep the faith. Well, where does the faith come from? It comes from going back and looking at God's Word and studying this book. Don't you want to read this book? 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, John said, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." As our faith wavers, many times I've seen in my life, and I would say you have in yours as well, your Bible study wavered too, didn't it? If I'm not studying, if I'm not looking at God's Word, if I miss out on opportunities to come together with God's people, all of a sudden that knowledge of God's Word is not something that's in my heart. It's not something that I'm thinking about on a daily basis. And as a result, we see where our faith begins to waver. I think that's a warning for us, but I hope it's also an encouragement for us. You're here tonight because you care about that, but we have to understand those that are not here tonight, maybe they don't fully understand the benefits of this. We need to talk about why it was so good that we had this class. When you came to Bible class and said, "Man, Sunday morning at class, that was great." See, that message needs to be spread even to those within the church. Our friends at work, "Well, why would you go there?" Well, meeting with a lady the other day, and I was at Dad's house and the physical therapist came through. And he said, "My kids go and my children go and they go three times a week." He was telling them, "Dad, my kids, they go on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night." And they said, "What? You, like, wherever heaven is, you're going to be way above that." Because the idea of, like, coming in and seeing that study, in her mindset, it was one of, like, "Well, no, I'm going to go so often." She sort of shared what her view of that was. But that was something that was totally new to them. Well, there's nothing about extra credit of being here. But the idea of, look, I get to know more. The more I get to have God talk to me, the more I get to look into His Word, He strengthens me. He gives me stability in the storm. He gives me a foundation of faith that's going to help me in life. We need to not only practice that, we need to communicate that view to others as well. In a way that shows them we love them. In a way that says, "Man, you can't miss this. You need to be a part of this." And we need to reach out to others and invite them to the great opportunity we have to study God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul, speaking to those that he had come and shared God's Word with, he made this statement. He says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it was, what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you." He was so thankful because whenever he came to them with a message from God, they didn't just think that's just somebody talking. This is the message for what exactly it is. It's a message from God. And its purpose is to perform a work in our lives. And as we have that opportunity for Bible study, as we have the time to study on our own, to realize what it really is, don't you want to study this book? This book's also important because it offers a great defense against the devil. Whenever we start to study, whenever we have struggles in life, we have to understand what this book, what deepening our Bible study is going to do. Many times we're anchored down with our struggles, with our temptations, with things that continue to nag us, and maybe we continue to give into that, and it makes our Christian life a struggle. We have to understand we have a great help for that. In Matthew chapter 4, isn't that what Jesus showed us? As He faced temptation, as Satan himself came to Jesus and was going to spend His time after 40 days of going without food, without anything to drink, He comes to tempt Jesus, and every time Jesus is saying what? It is written. It is written. It is written. Why? Because God's Word within Jesus' heart was part of that great defense. When He faced Satan himself, "It is written" was a powerful statement to dispel whatever temptation he was going to face. Is it any less powerful today? We have to understand that as we face our struggles and as we face temptations in this world and we're constantly being bombarded, God is trying to give us something. The way that Paul describes it in Ephesians 6 is, "I want you to have a shield that you can catch all those fiery darts of the wicked one. As Satan is throwing these things at you, I want you to have a shield that you can hold up and that you can withstand these attacks." What is that shield? Your faith. Where does faith come from? From hearing. From hearing the Word of God. As we look at this book and as you decide to study this book and to dig into it, understand the greater you dig into this book, the greater your defense is going to become. The more you look at God's Word and the more you accept it into your heart and put it into your lives, temptations can start to become more on the peripheral. We can start to deflect those attacks. We have that opportunity and that ability, but we've got to study the book. Don't you want to study that book? It's going to help us on personal desires. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalmist there writes, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." For our personal struggles that we face, he says, "You know what? I'm going to put that verse within my mind." Whatever you're facing as you go to Bible study, you can get that verse and you can put that verse to memory. And you want voices in your head, don't you? You want voices about what you're dealing with, but this is what God's Word has told me, and that's going to help me to give that all-powerful statement of "It is written" in my personal life. It's important as well, obviously, for the church. As you have false teachers that can come, 1 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul's talking to Timothy, he says, "You preach the Word. You be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why? Because the time's coming when people will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll have itching ears. They want to be told what they want to hear. And they're going to come up and they're going to listen to those teachers. And as a church, they can be carried away from false teachers. What's the solution to that? Deeper Bible study, isn't it? Having a foundation. Having the stability, having the ability to defend ourselves against the devil and his attacks. Don't you want to read this book? The fourth thing that I think we can see here in Scripture is the fact that this book is our source in helping to convert others to Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart." The book, as we look at this and as we decide to study it and as we decide that we're going to dig deeper into it, we need to understand that this is not a book that is old and dull. It is a book that is living and active. Could you imagine if God Himself wrote you a note? The ink was not yet dry on it, and He slid that sheet of paper over to you, and you had that message from Him. What would be your feeling as you read His note to you? "This could change me. This may give me direction for the rest of my life." The excitement that would be there, that I need to know this. I'm not going to just sort of discard it. I'm not going to set it aside. I believe this could really make a difference. As we take our viewpoint of Scripture, I want to challenge you tonight to to step back. It's something that we see all the time. We have them all over our houses. We've got them all around us. But we need to pick up the book. We need to study it. We need to look at it. We need to understand that this is a powerful book. It's that sword that you can take into battle. It's that sword that you can take to get into somebody else's lives. But it's also God's power. See, many times as we think about converting people to Christ, we think about what we're going to do. We need to understand that this book, the reason we study it, is not so we can get every right answer on everything, so we can say everything just right. It's so we can be aware enough of it to get this book into the hands of somebody else that can read it and then watch what God can do with the knowledge of His Word. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 6 of his book said this about God and His Word as He sends it down into this world. He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We're dealing with a God who is abundant in mercy, who wants to forgive us, who wants to offer so many great things, but His thoughts are so much higher than us. As you study Scripture, that's what we see, isn't it? How difficult is it to sit there and try to wrap our minds, our little finite human minds, around a God who has made this world? And God's saying, that's right. It's like going to the ocean and you've got a 5-gallon bucket, and God is the ocean and your brain's that 5-gallon bucket. What are you going to get? We're just getting a little bit of what is out there with God. He's so much greater than us. His thoughts are so much higher than us. But then He turns back again to talk about the effect that His Word can have. Verse 10, He says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it." We have the opportunity to put God's word into the world in our conversations at lunch, whenever we talk to our children or our neighbor or whoever else. We have the opportunity to put His word out there. And God says, you know what? Just like the rain that's coming from heaven is going to fall and it's going to fulfill its purpose. What is the purpose? We don't always know. But if we offer God's word out to others, God can use that to change the world. Well, moving on quickly tonight, as we look at the idea of studying this book and the importance of it, the stability we can have in storms, the foundation of faith that can be built, a defense against the devil, the ability we have to convert others to Christ. If we get this proper perspective, I hope tonight that you can be more motivated to look at it, to understand the things that we know, but to act on it. Well, how can we do it? Well, when it comes to studying the Bible, I don't believe that there's any magic pill. I don't think that there is a one-size-fits-all approach to Scripture. I want to give you a couple things tonight as we close about some things that you can do in looking at God's Word. We're all different on how we approach God's Word, how we study it, and I think that's okay. We're not all going to be the same. Some are going to take this very academic approach. Some others are going to just going to give themselves to it and just want to read it as many times as they can, looking at it on a less in-depth way. But how we do it, I don't think is as important as making sure that we are doing it, making sure that we are approaching God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, He said this to the Jews, and I believe it applies the principle for us today. "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What are some principles that we see in that passage? One thing I think you see about how you can take a deeper look is, one, you're seeing that it's a part of their daily life, isn't it? When it comes to studying the Bible, what's the best way to deepen your study is to simply make it a part of your daily life. Find your time. It might be in the morning. It might be in the evening. It might be at the lunch hour. It's going to be different for everybody, but find that time. When they were getting up, when they were walking down the way, you have to make sure that you find that time. I think it's also important to take advantage of opportunities. I think of Paul's encouragement to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching." So you need to make it a part of your daily life, but sometimes you also need to simply take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you. I don't know who exactly inspired me to do it, but just years ago I said, you know what, whenever I come to Bible study, whenever I hear a lesson, I'm going to do the best that I can to have God's Word with me. And whenever they're teaching it, I'm going to do the best I can to turn those pages to those passages. I don't know who told me that or planted that seed, but I'm so glad they did. Well, I already know that passage. I'm going to turn to it and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it again and again. Over 25 passages have already been read tonight. What he tells Timothy is, pay attention to the opportunities that are there. You have opportunities as we come together, as you go to Bible class, you have the time to read that. Many times I've seen where I not only read that, but I read the passage after that. Or maybe what the speaker was saying, I saw what they said and I saw something else as well. But simply take advantage. When it comes to deeper Bible study, it's having this book with us. It's going through it and to think about it and make sure that we check in and we pay attention to what is going on. I know and appreciate the need to do in-depth exegesis of passages. The idea of Greek word studies, graduate levels, studies of Scripture, all these other things where we can really get deep into Scripture. And I appreciate all those things and I think they're very important. But I also had a great theologian named Natalie Thomas last night that shared this thought, and I thought, that's pretty doggone good. As we were discussing this lesson, and we were talking about, I said, sometimes deepening your study of the Bible is just learning to love it more. And isn't that right? The idea of not it's a chore, not something else that I have to do, but realizing the principles that we've talked about don't I want to study that book? Don't I want a stronger foundation of faith? I'm going to need stability because I know the storms will come. I want to be able to defend myself against the devil. I want to be able to bring other people to Christ. Those things make me want to sit there and look at it more often. Not just look at it and study it to prove a point or to win an argument or to make sure that we're right in order to connect with our God by allowing Him to constantly communicate to us. For us to treat Him as holy by following what He has said. By submitting ourselves to Him. So we can prove what is His good and acceptable and perfect will. Make it a part of your daily life. Include it in your daily activities. If you want to really learn more about Scripture, volunteer to teach a class. Isn't that right? When you go and you have to present something, teach a class. Just say, well, I don't know if I could teach. Go teach a class. Go in with a class. Take a responsibility. Speak at a ladies' day or come over and take an opportunity to get up and speak. Put it into your daily activities. When we make our schedule, we put where our resources will go. We put where our energies will go. We will decide where our mental energy is going to be in this world. Put something about Bible study into your daily activities. Go to a Murray Christian camp. Take off on a trip with the young folks if you can. Go to a Bible lectureships where, look, I'm just scheduling off this day. I'm taking a day off of work and I'm going to go and be where God's Word is being taught. But I'm going to put it into my activities. I'm going to go somewhere that's good. One of the greatest blessings I've had in this life was when Kirk Brothers came here and a number of men that are in here that I'm seeing tonight, we got together and decided on Tuesday morning we're going to come at 6 o'clock and just study different books. And I've been able, because of that scheduled decision, to glean from people that have been a huge blessing in my life. But I had to just pick a time and say, that's part of my activity. During the school year, Tuesday morning, that's where I need to be. Sometimes with our Bible study, to get deeper into it, we need to think outside of what is normal. And we need to get with others. And maybe it's, hey, for this month, let's do a Bible study. Go do it. I'm going to go to this activity because I know there's going to be more teaching. The classes that are about to start over here, I'm going to take one of those classes. Won't God bless you? Won't God give you something foundational to hold your life up during difficulties? Won't God bless you with stability? Won't He give you a greater defense? Yes, He will. Take advantage of the opportunities to put them into your daily activities. As you study, ask questions. There is a difference between Bible reading and Bible study. Both of them are good. Most of us are usually bent one direction or the other. Maybe, hey, I read my chapter, and that's good to sit there and to spend that time that I'm reading the chapter. But then there's times where I'm going to have a Bible study, and I'm going to sit down and start asking the questions. What's in here that I didn't expect? What sticks out in my mind? Who, what, when, where, how? Who is he talking to? When was this time period? And you can find all kinds of opportunities to sit there and look deeper and to answer those questions, to investigate what is going on, to make those decisions that I'm going to dig down and ask questions. Decide that, pick a topic. I'm interested in heaven or hell or salvation or grace, whatever it may be. And I'm going to spend a month thinking about this, and to pick that topic. And to get a good Bible study, you can go get commentaries. And it used to be that you go in a preacher's office and you get whole shelves, books everywhere, and you got to have all those books. Oh, I can't study like the preacher. Now all you can do is just sit in front of a computer. You can buy a software package and you can have that there. You can have those commentaries. You can have information. You've got to be careful, but you look to God's Word, and you have so many opportunities if you'll ask those questions. The last one I had there was use technology. We have so much available to us now that has never been available to mankind. I don't always remember, stick a reminder on your phone. Many of us get reminded every day, our phone's telling us what to do. Use that technology for a reminder. It's lunchtime, I'm going to study. Read while you're waiting. Many of us have a Bible on our phone, or you've got an iPad and you're sitting in a doctor's office. Take it there. Read that opportunity. Read while you're waiting, not while you're driving, while you're waiting. But you can sit there and you have all these different opportunities to go out, listening to audio books, to listen to sermons. We were driving down the interstate. We were not getting back to Southgate, and it was live streaming. My wife pulled, and we're not big on technology, pulled it up on her phone, hooked some cables to it, put it into our DVD player, and our children were watching a Bible study on the DVD in your car, and I'm driving down the interstate. That blows my mind, okay, that we can do that. But the opportunity to be involved in Bible study, you miss summer series, I miss some of them at Southgate. I've got lessons. I need to go back and look at that. And now it's archived on our websites. Go to Graymere's website and you can watch whichever ones you miss. Go to Southgate, you can watch what we did this summer. You have the opportunity to continue to deepen your Bible study, and I think it's so important. To look at those things, whether it be Facebook or blogs or other things in technology. There's some of them where 5 minutes with God. Natalie's been doing that for a number of months now. Rusty Hills is a guy on Facebook. And he just puts a little passage and some thoughts. You can deepen your study by deepening those opportunities, and the opportunities abound. There is a reading plan. If you want to read the New Testament in a month or in a year or the Bible in a year, and you can just pick it. And there's so many things that can help us to look deeper into God's Word. God's blessed us, hasn't he? He's blessed us with a great book, with great instructions, with a great story. He has given us the victory. He is taking care of the problems that are there, but we just have to hold on to him. We have to build our faith on him, because we are saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. He's given us the gift to study his word. I hope all of you tonight have been encouraged to do it even more. If you will, let's close in prayer. Our great God and Father, we come before you tonight humbled and thankful for the great opportunity that we have to look at your word. Father, I pray that you will help each one of us to make a decision tonight to look at it in a deeper way. Pray, Father, that you'll help us to acknowledge and to consider the strength that you have given us, and that you will help us to use this tool, that you will help us to use it to strengthen our own lives. Help us to use it as we face the storms of life. We pray, Father, that you'll help us as we're working with our children and our grandchildren and others, that we will help it to build a foundation that will help us in everything that we face. Father, we pray that you'll help us to resist the devil. Pray that you'll help us to put your word into our hearts so that we can do that. Father, we pray that you'll give us a desire to look more to your word. And Father, we pray that you'll also give us the desire to share it with others. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.